Wow, where are we recording from right now?
We're in the hotel room. Your hotel room.
We're in our hotel room, Joe and I's hotel room. I'm recording on a wireless mic. This is the closest to stand-up I'll ever get. Why do you drive on a freeway?
Oh, man. I am reclining for the first time.
You are reclining.
You look like you need to be in an ad. Jesus Christ. Your legs are open, the beer in your hand,
up against the white pillow
E3,
and the white bed.
Showing off my package.
Ladies and gentlemen,
and Michael and I wearing the same shirt.
A pleasant health, hasn't it, this week?
This has been...
Pleasant health is an excellent word for that.
It's been... if you go back and listen to like Talk Radar 10, which was the infamous worst podcast ever, we were miserable and hated our lives.
Yes, where E3 fist fucked them.
Yeah.
Not gonna edit that. No edits, no sound effects this episode. There's Genesis music coming out of Brett's computer. Yeah. I believe the wireless mic can pick it up.
Yeah. That's combat cars for you. Those cars are fighting.
I will close the door. We might have some...
Chris is walking out of the room.
I am
with
not
that mic. How far will that go?
Matter. He's got a wireless mic. He can go anywhere.
I can go anywhere. What this also means is that people can just come in our room.
Tell me about solitaire.
And we can have special guests. There's a knock at the door.
No,
someone's at the door.
No sooner did he shut
yourselves.
The door.
I'm Chris Antista.
Literally the same second.
This is Brett Elston.
Oh, hi!
Oh, hey, it's Scott Butterworth.
Scott Butterworth!
Butters!
Is that a wireless mic? Hi!
That's Dan Emmerich.
That's Scott Butterworth.
Hi!
I ran into Dan Emmerich today, and I got a cameo in his One of Swords video. What?
We did the introductions, and they didn't. Oh. I was going to have them just
introductions, go. Tyler Wilde.
I'm Tyler Wilde.
Michael Raparez.
I'm Michael Raparez.
We did this.
Yay!
Scott Butterworth.
Hi, I'm Scott Butterworth.
Of what?
PlayStation, the official magazine.
How is E3 treating you?
Yeah, it's true. This is a wireless. Where'd you guys get a wireless mic?
He decided to step it up a single notch this year. So
exciting! You look like Wayne Newton.
I know. I feel like I'm doing really
Wayne
shitty stand up.
Well, Wayne
Newton.
Funny. So
where's my rim shot? Bong. Speaking of E3, why weren't you at the Bethesda party last night?
Because I was busy crying in a corner.
What were you doing for real?
Crying in a corner.
You were not crying in a corner. You cry in a bed. I've seen you do it.
It's true.
I'd say he was crying in the open.
Before and after, usually. It's, also during sometimes. But
does it for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you missed the Bethesda party, which was awesome again.
I heard Shane Patterson was there.
Shane.
Former GamesRadar.
Motherfucking Patterson was there.
That's his actual Shatterson. Given middle name.
Yeah, you can't really legally change it to that.
I can't believe his mom went for that.
It's crazy. He was
kind
there.
Of prophetic.
And we...
You want to know how happy he looked?
How happy?
Very
way happy.
I wasn't setting up
another
a
knock
joke.
At the door.
Another knock at the door. Is it a complaint?
Another knock at the door, but this is real this time. It's Joe McNeely, late for the podcast in his own room. Where'd you go?
I was over in the blue triangle section of the hotel.
That's not for us.
See, that's for intermediate hotel writers.
And that's for closers.
Well, I tried to get back, and I got lost in Red Circle. I don't know what the fuck this place is. Like, 2 four-leaf clovers connected by a bunch of weird ramps. It fucking looks like the inside of the Citadel or some shit.
And the scene in the elevator from In the Line of Fire, shot right
in the line of fire, Forget Paris, and True Lies.
Forget
Ralph.
Paris? For Billy Crystal?
Yeah. Yes.
All of our users are going to know about Forget Paris. Right.
Famous elevators
forget
right here.
Paris.
There was a movie, like an 80s chase film with, like, you know, like the... Like the college kids who go on a scavenger hunt across Los Angeles.
Cannonball Run.
Thank you. That was also filmed here.
Was it really?
Yes.
I love that movie. It's so fucking terrible.
It's so racist. They
E3. We're almost at video games.
Yeah. We're going to get to video games.
The Bethesda party, Joe. Did you
let us have this
party?
One completely nonsense podcast?
Bethesda party is the best thing about E3. Year after year. It just continually is the best thing about E3.
It was a good party.
All that LA pretense of like those weird pools and
design
and house music and just plays fucking rock music and karaoke and just
Mechanical Bull
and drinks. Everybody in the industry around just having a great time.
Yeah, it's at the Saddle Ranch, so it's, you know.
Yeah, in LA, so if you're anywhere nearby, you can go there and pretend you
Saddle Ranch Shop House.
Sat there with us.
I tried to get some friends in last year, and they totally got stopped at the door like, oh, who are you guys? You're not on the list.
That's so weird.
Yeah, turn the fuck away. And they showed up really late, too, so like it was at the point where it really didn't matter anymore. They still got turned away.
We were usually pretty packed.
We were out pretty late with some Bethesda people.
Yeah.
And I was trying to like, hey, so Elder Scrolls 5, anything there? Nobody.
Fox Force 5?
No. Nope. Elder Scrolls.
Oh,
the game
okay.
they make? Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
You got it.
Dude looked like he was what I
thought about an Elder Scrolls MMO.
I hate it.
Really? You should read this thing I wrote for the top seven games we want announced at E3, which is sort of irrelevant.
Why does anyone think
MMO? The point was like, give me Elder Scrolls 5 with four-player co-op, but fuck an Elder Scrolls MMO.
We got a really weird cab ride home where your cab didn't seem to want to adhere to traffic lanes.
Oh, he just drove down whatever road he felt necessary.
And Logan Decker and Dan Stapleton and Michael and I.
Yes.
We're in a cab together.
The first two of PC Gamer.
Who refused to race your cab.
Yeah.
You got here faster, and you got a cigar, a $200 cigar.
This was pretty bizarre. Like, I've never had a cabbie hand me a hand-rolled Cuban cigar before. I don't know what. I guess he was amused by our banter on the drive home or what, but...
Yeah, it's a bunch of banter that can never be repeated or posted anywhere.
Although I do have a recording on my iPhone. No.
Let's never. No, you don't. Last night did not happen as far as I'm concerned. Most of last night.
All I remember, and I'm sorry, Joe, if any of your relatives are listening, is you get out of the cab and you're holding a giant cigar and wearing sunglasses now. Like, I need a cigar cutter. How do I get a cigar cutter? And then, like,
yeah, ready to find a hobo with a knife. 2:30 because I was
in the morning.
There's no way. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm in downtown Los Angeles. How the fuck am I going to get a cigar cutter? I'm trying to get a knife off the hobo who came up and started singing the blues. Hey, man, you got a switchblade or something? I need to cut the cigar. The cabbie just gave me a $200 Cuban cigar that his friend from New York smuggled in illegally. So I'm sitting there.
Allegedly.
I've got these... No, I looked it up because the wrapper that the cigar came in.
I was trying to protect your idea.
Those can't be recycled in any way.
How gross. They're going to kick you out of Berkeley.
I literally like reached into the console in the middle of the cab and lifted out took out his personal stash. They were in glass tubes, and he slid one out of the glass tube.
I have a Capcom cigar in a glass tube for some reason.
It was fantastic. So I'm sitting there on the sidewalk, and the next thing I know, Chris Antista comes walking like out of the ether holding a cigar cutter.
Yeah, and this cigar cutter came from a door that I swear wasn't there until we needed it, like the fucking wishing.
Seriously.
Like the room of requirement in Harry Potter.
It was like a wall, and then like the line appears and the door emerges.
Did he get it from the tea club?
Well,
whatever that shit
it
is.
Said
it was the gentleman's club.
It said gentleman's club. So then I saw the door that you walked in. I'm like, did he go in there? So I opened the door.
Everything is made out of mahogany, like lights and drinks.
It was like an exclusive club.
Yes,
but the thing is, everyone was Japanese.
It was it was 2:30 in the morning, so there's no alcohol being sold. But they greeted me, yes, sir, and like, do we have a cigar card? In Japanese,
right.
Screams to another guy, and this one guy comes running out the back like he's carrying the Olympic torch. We have it! And it was like this giant mahogany and copper cigar cutter. Not one you put in your hands.
No, it's the thing that...
You have to set it on a table and like...
No, because that fucking place reeked of a fucking Yakuza den.
Yes.
And that was the fucking thing they used to that's what they used to cut people's fingers off.
Holy shit.
That's what it was. That was not a cigar cutter.
I'm still amazed they let you carry it out of there onto the sidewalk.
One of you had the revelation that there were only males who worked at the bar and a bunch of well-dressed women
of girls
who responded to me very well at 2:30 in the morning.
Yes.
In my Planet of the Apes shirt, sweaty, drunk, just like, I'll admit it, unfuckable. I'm unfuckable. No one's talking to me, but they're all responding very well. And like,
it was all women in skin-tight, like, single-fit, tiny dresses.
And so, was it Charlie's? Like, I think that was a prostitution den.
Yeah.
And it's just looking for a rich husband, Chris.
Maybe.
It was way too classy to be open at 2:30.
Why would you choose me?
So, right, games.
Games, E3.
Because you have $50.
We've been on...
We have a fourth headset, don't we?
Instead of you having to pass the mic back and forth, I think we're just going to talk at Michael Raparez's face.
How did you do that? Like, try and get through his beard. I dare you.
No. It's impossible. Many have died.
their remains are somewhere in the beard.
One does not simply walk into Michael's beard.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we were going to talk about what are the games that we've seen that we've... Fine, we're talking about. What have you seen, Scotty?
I saw Rock Band 3 behind closed doors today.
So did we.
With did you see the guitars, the Squire?
Yeah.
And
it's like a real guitar.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Squire guitar is a real guitar, as in you can plug it into an amplifier and it is a real guitar.
It works, interacts on screen. I've never seen anything like it.
It's really cool.
And it scrolls some kind of form of like half tablature, half harmonics.
It's basically guitar tabs. It's sort of like harmonics' version of guitar tabs. So any of you like amateur guitarists out there who've ever looked shit up on the internet, you know exactly what we're talking about. It's basically that scrolling at you in real time, and that sounds really impossible, but it actually doesn't feel... I mean, it's definitely a skill that you will need to acquire, but it feels doable, and it feels like the game does it well, and pro mode is scaled in a way that if you start it easy, it actually is easy, and you'll be able to work your way up in a very natural way, and pro expert is quite literally every note in the song in the position that it will be played at. So basically, if you can play a song in expert pro mode in Rock Band... Pointing at Brett Elston for a photo.
Oh, that photo's going to Twitter.
Yay.
So you'll see it.
You're literally playing the song. Like, if you were to unplug yourself from the game and plug into an actual amplifier, you would be playing Crazy Train or whatever.
So I'm going to be a rock star soon?
If you actually get good at that game, literally, yes. You will be able to play
guitar. The whole pitch of the pro mode, and if you buy the appropriate... instruments.
Dude. Yeah.
The appropriate guitar that takes advantage of that. Is like, if you graduate to the point where you're playing the game on expert... You're playing the song.
Yes.
Like, you're literally playing the song.
Quite literally, note for note, playing the actual song.
I've always wanted to play the guitar, but the only people willing to teach me were annoying long-haired hippies. And now I can learn from a video game.
Finally, no more people.
Yeah. Hate them. Hate people.
But yeah, I got to play... We played around with the pro drums, which add the three cymbals, and they actually are new notes on the chart.
Yeah, they appear as circles as opposed to know what you're supposed to hit.
It's a small touch, but it
feels so authentic. It really enhances the drum
experience. Moving from left to right across all those drums, like, it felt just a little bit better. And
yeah.
It's I don't know. The drums got the least amount of attention in Rock Band 3.
But that simple thing was
great for me.
Well, and what really sells me on the game in general is that the pro mode is really only a part of the upgrades.
If
you don't feel like investing in new guitars and you just want, some new features, Rock Band 3 offers that as well. So you can just kind of forget about pro mode if you want.
I love that you could change the difficulty in the middle of the song. And any instrument.
Yeah, so they're definitely...
No more like, oh, this is too hard, let me back out. It was like, no, I'll just change the difficulty right now, or I'll drop out now, I'll drop back in. Like,
so they definitely borrowed a few ideas from Guitar Hero 5, but I mean,
good
ideas.
They did.
I mean, I don't say that in like, how dare they. I mean, awesome, good move, because those were the best parts of that game.
How much does the guitar cost?
They haven't announced official pricing yet.
I'm sure, I mean, an actual guitar cost... A lot.
It's probably... I mean, I'm kind of guessing, because they would not tell me officially, so don't take my word for this, but I think it'll be in the neighborhood of $150.
That's what I heard. Was
Fender? Doesn't it say Fender on it?
It says Squire on it, which is kind of like Fender. It's like shitty Fender.
Shender?
Yeah.
And then Shender. The keyboard, which I found baffling to play, because I know nothing about keyboarding.
That's probably the toughest new thing, because you're playing that on pro, you're literally, like, you're playing piano,
I have no
experience playing piano.
Really difficult to, like... Have each finger be doing.
Although, to be fair, they actually have color-coded bars at the tops of the keys, so that this keyboard sort of divided into sections.
Yeah, but it's...
And I actually found that very helpful. Like, I was able to orient myself.
No, it's a good idea.
I got one playthrough that was completely different to how your interface looked, because yours was color-coded.
Yes.
Why was that?
I was on easy.
On easy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was not paying attention.
No. I had colored keys. He had colored sections in his fretboard, or what would normally be the fretboard. I didn't have colored sections. I just had, like, red, green, red, blue, yellow, whatever. Yes. I had, like, those keys that I was hitting with five keys on the keyboard.
Got it.
You were just playing regular, then.
I was playing normal
mode.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, pro actually divides it into unique lanes for each note. But if you're playing it just on regular traditional Rock Band gameplay, it's still just the five lanes, and they're mapped to five keys on the keyboard. And also, fun aside, if you don't want to buy the keyboard, you can actually play all the keyboard parts on a guitar. So in a way, you can think about this as if they've now added lead guitar. If you want to, you can play it that way.
Yeah, it's just like every other song you played on keyboard in Rock Band. Any song with a keyboard part, you play with a guitar, usually.
Like,
the Europe song? Like, that was all done with
a
guitar.
It looked like they were just replacing all the old guitar tab. Like, you could play any guitar song that exists in Rock Band with the keyboard, and it played a keyboard version of that song.
I'm not sure, but that sounds... that's probably true.
That seemed like what happened, because we played a song that I thought had already existed,
What, maybe I Love Rock and Roll?
Yeah.
Well, they did say that's like the song they found that everybody could weigh themselves in. And yeah. absolutely right. Because
I did, that's what I did with Expert Drums Pro, and I got like 98% on drums because it was a very easy song to play. What else did
I saw Dance Central, which I feel ridiculously stupid talking about how much fun I had with it.
That's a game I'll play a lot in the comfort of my home by myself.
Yes, yes, I wasn't comfortable. Somebody
and then I'll show
it.
Up at work like
but
guys.
But it was absolutely fun, and I don't know. I don't think I found like my sense of rhythm automatically, but I was all of a sudden comfortable doing stupid dance shit.
Right.
As soon as I got back to Poker Face, and I was just surprised how well the Kinect works. There was always a silhouette projected on me in real time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still used to calling it Kinect and not Natal.
I'm doing my best, especially when we're looking at these little E3 animals that have Natal on them.
Yeah, they're not even called Kinectimals.
So apparently the decision was made somewhere in between printing these out on paper and throwing an entire Cirque du Soleil press conference.
God damn it.
Natal.
Which we already talked about that in the previous E3.
Who else saw something?
I saw a ton of Nintendo shit today.
I saw everything at the show, provided it was made by Sony.
Okay.
Or the PlayStation 3.
But that's not bad. That's not a bad thing.
That means you saw Twisted Metal.
I did.
And I kind of saw it. I didn't play it, but you played it.
I did. It was pretty fun. I only played it for a few minutes, really, while getting an earful from the... I think it was the producer. Somebody who was working.
I actually interviewed her. It might be on the site when you listen to this. I have an interview with a producer on Twisted Metal. It's not a great interview because I didn't watch the Sony conference because I was on the floor and got up to the Sony booth with Michael, and I look over and there's Twisted Metal, and I hadn't heard the announcement. What? And then I had to do an interview
like 16 TVs with it on display. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Did someone say this? David Javits would not be here under any circumstances?
I don't know.
He lied.
Like, Dan came in going, did anyone see Twisted Metal? And, like, Dan Amrick, he actually came over and talked to us. And I told him, I guess, like, it looked fun. I didn't play it. But it looked a lot like Twisted Metal Black, just not as dark. Like,
it's much more colorful and cheerful.
Cheerful, but it doesn't look a whole lot different than it. It's just Twisted Metal.
Here's the thing, though. It takes kind of a weird approach in that, like, usually Twisted Metal has kind of like this Street Fighter thing where all the characters are different and, you know, attached to different cars. And this time around, it's like there's four teams, each built around a theme. So there's, like, Sweet Tooth and a bunch of Sweet Tooth wannabes and Dollface from Twisted Metal Black and a bunch of, I guess, Dollface wannabes.
Weird.
And
this probably should have come up in the interview I did, but I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, probably. And then there are two more factions that they haven't revealed yet. But within these factions, there's like a bunch of different vehicles and there's like, you know, dudes on motorcycles. And, you know, I drove around in like a Ghostbusters ambulance. That was pretty cool. That shoots guided missiles in the form of screaming dudes on gurneys that explode when they hit something.
Now, if you watch that interview, I apologize for asking which characters will appear in the game, because now I'm finding out that that's not the way it works.
Well, we know two of them are appearing.
Yeah,
that's
all she said is like Sweet Tooth and Dollface, and I'm like, okay, how about Axel?
The hell, where's our air conditioning?
It's hot.
It's sweltering.
Anyway, continue, Michael. You played it.
Yeah, I played it. It's like, I haven't played a Twisted Metal in a long time, but one thing that I noticed immediately was like this big targeting reticle would just kind of appear and automatically, you know, center all my attacks on like the nearest enemy, whether I was kind of pointing toward them or not. And it was fun. I didn't get to play the really cool team-based mode that they unveiled during the press conference.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of exciting.
Yeah, where you, like, you know, drag a team leader around and, like, sacrifice under this big flaming grinder thing, and then,
flaming grinder.
To shoot a... Yeah, there's, like, this missile launcher, the front of which is, like, has, like, these three giant grinder rollers and a bunch of fire on this conveyor belt, and so you throw the team leader who you've been dragging behind your car onto this conveyor belt, and the sacrifice activates a missile launch, and you then guide the missile through all kinds of aerial hazards, and you have to hit a giant statue of the other team's leader that is suspended in midair from several helicopters.
Sounds like a fantastic game of Quidditch.
Yeah, and then once you've hit that statue three times, then you've won the match.
Really? Is that like your only goal?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Other than blow shit up.
That was just
I mean, it's
that
twisted
cycle.
Metal. It's just like team-based twisted metal, which is kind of a cool idea.
You may have mentioned this, but I completely blanked out for a second. What up with the helicopters?
Yeah.
There is a helicopter.
Just a helicopter?
I think it's
just
a vehicle
like
type
sweet
you can
copter
pick.
Or something like that?
No.
The man whose arms are helicopters.
I haven't actually seen much of the helicopter. I do know that like they showed a first person like chain gun cam where you can just bombard shit on the ground, and that is not a second player thing. That's like
an
you're just piloting
thing?
It, and you can just switch your view to that.
Oh, I see.
So.
Did they show much of the character design? Like, there's nothing crazy like Axel from 2, like, where a guy...
Oh, like I said, all they showed was a bunch of Sweet Tooths
okay,
and a bunch of Dolphins.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, Sweet Tooth looks cool. Like, he's on the menu screen, like, all rendered creepily.
I loved in the press conference when they drove Sweet Tooth out
Jesus
on stage,
Christ.
Which was a really cool moment. Yeah. But then the guy who was dressed up in Sweet Tooth gear,
he's
like, rah, Sweet Tooth, and then press conference continues and... fucking sweaty dude still standing there like, can I leave?
Fuck that. If I recall, he closed the press conference on the
yeah, yeah. I mean, that, like
goodbye,
when it,
everybody.
Yeah, when it, yeah, but it's like, he's just so awkward after his moment is over, and then the guy in the business suit, Twisted Metal will ship with 1 million players. Like,
so, he's like, building mythology out of a series.
Are you listening, Professor Walmart? You need to stock this game.
Yeah,
Holiday 2011, I probably.
He's like the B-level guest who stays out there on the late night talk show. While the A-level guest comes out and just kind of nods his head as they say,
yeah, that is a statement.
Oh,
that
yes.
Made.
I'm getting points just by sitting here.
Yeah. But
this is a guy who was emptying big bins of garbage at the show.
Joe's showing pictures
on
his phone.
One of the booth babes gave him a smooch on the head, and he had this lipstick. That's lipstick
he's got,
all over his head.
He's got jailhouse tats and one around his neck.
Right, but he couldn't wipe it off because he was wearing rubber gloves and he was, like, hauling garbage around.
Hold on, let's see if the listeners can hear
Can you see that?
Yeah,
can you hear the picture?
Can you hear the
smooch? No, doesn't work.
He has this big, gooey kiss on his forehead.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that hilarious?
Wow, like, there's, like, texture on the
that's
lips.
That's pretty gross.
Oh, that's pretty gross.
That's pretty gross. I actually thought it was a tattoo.
Correct.
What is...
He has tattoos under his eyes.
What are some other good stuff at Sony?
SOCOM 4 was a lot better than I expected it to be, because I have absolutely zero interest in that series, but then I played it, and it's like, this one actually has a little bit of personality. You know, it has a very simple team mechanic where you basically have two fire teams that follow you around, and like you just tell them where to go by, you have a little on-screen cursor, and you just like hold down, say, like left on the D-pad, and that'll direct one of your teams over to a certain place, and you release it, and they'll go there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have it be like time deployed, basically, where it's like, okay, go there on my signal, and then you give a signal, and they'll go to a space and kill whatever they see. And like the guy was telling me that it'll have emergent AI, where like your team members will be really sharp, and like if they see that you see an enemy and you don't tell them about it, they'll call you on it. They'll be like, hey, you should tell us that shit next time.
I feel like emergent is one of the buzzwords of this
E3. Yeah,
emergent gameplay.
Did you try SOCOM 4 with Move?
I did.
Microphone.
I did, actually.
Oh, really?
It is
did
like,
it work?
It's like, have you played a shooter on the Wii?
No.
Actually.
It's almost exactly like that, but more sensitive. But it's like,
that
well, this
sound like it's a good thing.
Yeah, well, this works great. It's a little hard for me to target because it's pointing a wand is just somehow more difficult than moving an analog stick.
We did play one,
and it's also a little bit tiresome just to have to continually hold something pointed toward the screen.
Yeah, I mean, I love Metroid Prime a lot, and went through it. I reviewed Metroid Prime Trilogy and beat 3 as well, so. It works great, and it can actually be a boon to an FPS, but it is still like, I can't play it for a super long time.
I saw the Conduit too.
Oh, you did.
They were talking about Wii Motion Plus, and I like the Conduit dice, because like, everybody knows, you know, it's first-person shooter on the Wii, so what they could sort of talk about is like how they overcame the limitations to make what they did. And it supports Wii Motion Plus. He's like, well, what does it do? He's like, you know, when you were playing Conduit, and you... If you point the Wii remote off screen, you can't, like, it just loses track of everything.
Right, and the whole game just freaks out.
That is, like, eliminate. That's what Wii Motion Plus eliminates. What?
You're not holding the mic close enough to your
mouth.
You keep gesticulating.
You're not coming in very loudly.
Okay.
Which is something you always yell at us for.
Okay.
Here, put this headset on. Give me the mic.
Yeah.
How can you hear? Can you hear me?
Yeah. No, I'm watching your.
Oh, did you plug them in? Anyway, yeah, they were showing how Conduit works with Wii Motion Plus. That wasn't that exciting. But
yes.
But Vanquish is fucking crazy. New game from guys from the Platinum Games.
Yeah.
The guys that made Bayonetta. It's like Gears of War, but Japanese as fuck.
That's what it seemed like, super Japanese Gears of War.
There's a cover system, and then you jump out of a cover system, and you do like a...
And then you go Super Saiyan.
Mega Man slide tackle, or a rock fucking slide, knee slide, with metal sparks over the next barrier as you slow down time and shoot people in the face.
Nice.
It was absolutely crazy. It looks like it's set in the Gundam universe. And the music sounds like an old school shooter. I really dug it.
Well, that's kind of cool. I like the idea. I need to play it though. I didn't get a chance.
Yeah. Any other good Sony stuff?
Let's see, MotorStorm Apocalypse. That was pretty cool. Played that in 3D.
Is that on the floor?
3D. I don't know if it's on the floor. I know it's up in their little private booth area.
Ooh, burn public.
Yeah, and I played The Fight Lights Out.
Oh yeah, we both played that.
It was interesting.
How was that?
It's a move game. If you don't know about it, where you hold two move controllers and you punch.
Yeah,
it's
Sony's answer to Wii Boxing, exactly.
Yeah, it's it was
except that it actually looked like it was mimicking. I saw a girl playing it, and she was. Can you do it while I'm not talking?
I can wait. You can just wait. Brett's a jerk.
I don't want to talk about Fight. Somebody else.
Well,
I can't do this.
Yeah, it's basically it. You know, you're just. Throwing punches realistically, and I kept doing what I thought were gut shots, and it kept going after the guy's nuts.
Like a little box.
But it's one of those things where, I don't know, I feel like it needs work just because it constantly had to be recalibrated while I played.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, my guy's punches just kind of kept, like, whiffing, like, toward the ground, not even close to where I was aiming.
It seemed like
them.
It was too accurate.
It was kind of weird. It was like it was 1-to-1 if you were doing what it expected you to.
Yeah.
If not, it would be like now you're punching.
So it's
his
1-to-some.
The thing is, it's like you have to keep your feet rooted firmly in place.
Oh yeah, you like your intuition is to like move forward into the punch, and there was this big burly guy who I didn't know whether he designed the game
or
inspired it, who was just yelling at Michael the whole time. Don't step forward.
You must have this fight under rigid specifications.
Do a backhand. Yeah. Do an uppercut.
Hold the trigger button and throw some elbows in there.
Yeah. So Jesus I mean,
Christ.
We were playing it and it
so
worked
glad
sometimes.
I wasn't in there.
But the thing that bugged me is that when I did land a hit, it just felt so limp. Because one, I'm punching the air, and then like my guy on the screen, like he just kind of looked like he was tapping the other guy's head, and I'm like, I want to see his face like melt when I hit him, and
it
looked like I was slapping
him. Even with
him.
The 3D. Effect it's like it didn't really feel like there was much depth. I had a hard time telling whether or not anything was connecting because it felt the same whether the guy blocked it or moved out of the way or got hit.
So I mean, we did a video. There's a video of us playing it, maybe on the site now. If not, it will be. And you know, we were kind of nice to it. We were like, yeah, it worked. Yeah, you know, because it did. It worked better than any other motion control game that's claimed to be 1-to-1 that I've played, but I would never play it for real unless I was at
it's
E3.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like it looks really pretty, but unless there's like some fantastic storyline or there's something more than just two dudes in prison beating each other up, it's like this either has to be a pack-in or it has to be like a $20 PSN.
It's nothing I would
it's
ever
literally
buy.
Like that game exists for this like for the
it's
same
a tech demo.
For the same reason it exists for the same reason Move exists, which is we did this and it made them a ton of money. So let's make a Wii Sports, let's make a Wii Boxing, let's make a Wii Bowling, let's make a Wii Sports Resort, let's make it's all the same shit. Like here's the party montage of ping pong and archery. It's like so fucking unimaginative. And I already hated the Wii stuff.
Sometimes.
Close to 1-1.
It's 1-1.
What if it were 1-1?
It wouldn't be that fun, but
Now imagine yourself in a real fight and losing,
because you can't fight 1-1. Because you can't block every punch and you can't throw a punch in an open space. I don't know. That's just part of the reason. Like, why does this exist?
I'm okay with pressing a button and having a character on the screen do something I could never do.
Yes.
Which is what this is trying to get rid of.
Approximate something I could never do.
What's the point? Like, Tony Hawk Ride, if it had worked, I still don't know how to skateboard.
Yes.
So, fuck. Like, if it had worked as if it were one-to-one skateboarding, what's the point? Well, I can't skateboard. That's why I play games.
Complaining, what good shit did you see at E3 in the last couple
good
days?
Good shit? Well, I was going to tell you about bad shit on the topic of motion control. I played Game Party with Kinect.
Gross.
Which is like a Warner Brothers game, I guess, because it was in their booth.
Oh, Tyler, before you get into that, Scott, were there any, like, have you played a lot of Move?
No, well, the only thing I was going to say is just to sort of casually defend Move.
Don't you dare. Shut up, Pete.
What's like the most promising thing you saw?
The one thing that I saw in Move that I wasn't like, oh my god, was Sorcery, which they showed at the press conference, which didn't look amazing.
That looks like demo-y to me.
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, I think that it has potential. I like the idea because the ways in which they used the motion controls were actually sort of interesting, and it was cute and it fit. And I feel like if it was actually backed up by an imaginative and well put together platforming game, then it would actually make sense. If you know, it had sort of that charm and appeal of a well made, you know, early platformer that we all, you know, loved in the 90s, then it would actually be kind of cool. I can imagine that being charming and fun, and, you know, you use the motion controller quite literally as a wand. I mean, it works really well within that context. Yeah. It makes sense. There's a good chance that it won't actually be all that great, but that was the one thing I saw where I was like, oh, I can actually imagine being miserable.
I will talk back and ruin this moment because I can't.
Chris is yelling at us.
Chris is just hijacking the podcast.
Oh my god, he wants to edit it so bad.
I was doing that because they couldn't yell back, and you guys can't move, and they keep all three of these guys keep beckoning at me for a beer silently while I try.
Well, you're on the wireless mic, Mr. Wireless Man.
Oh my god,
you're not tethered to a box.
It just sounds like it's just. But you guys are like sick babies.
Yeah.
Sick
babies. Anyway, Sorcery.
Sick babies.
The thing about it is,
what's
it's like,
with wired mics?
It's one of those games that it strikes me as like, we have this controller. What do we do with it now? Yes. Let's make this game around it.
Yes. And the whole thing is like a game born not of design, but of like, well, we need a game.
That's
like,
you know, that's completely true. Almost certainly true. But that doesn't preclude it from being a good game.
But the thing is, I don't want to play we need a game. I want to play a game that's like, somebody set out to make a really good game.
A game that was born of passion and a good idea as opposed to,
what do we do?
Don't worry,
I agree.
And then it just happens to, like...
Look, man, I'm just trying to find some silver lining.
Scott, I'm about to hate on Kinect 100 times more than I've ever hated on Move.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah, Kinect has a whole other set of
I don't think Move is like... Okay, I think the wands with glowing balls are stupid, and I actually watched the video of myself playing, and, like, I don't remember what I was saying. I wasn't trying to be funny, but after playing it on the video, I said, "This is the first time I've touched the glowing ball, and you know, I like the way it feels." And I was talking about glowing balls for like 5 minutes on the video, but I also
Whereas Natal has this,
there are no balls in Natal.
There are no balls, and it has like. Kinect just has that air, partially because we suffered through that thing Sunday night that we already discussed, but like it has that air of, this is so important. Like, this is going to change. Oh,
you are the controller.
This is it, man. And all the advertising all over E3 and our own hotel bathrooms in our rooms. Million years of evolution, man. It's you. It's Natal. It's this controller.
I wouldn't let the cleaning lady in because I was still here. I'm like, I don't need you because I hate them coming in here.
Right.
No, the Natal shit wasn't in our bathroom when we checked into our hotel.
They
the second
put advertisements
day.
On your fucking...
They came into our rooms and put ads in our bathrooms.
That's why I tweeted, Microsoft broke into our hotel room, which...
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
They did have a key, but there was not... I didn't ask them.
And I played Game Party.
Well, they gave it to the cleaning
I think if they're going to put ads in our hotel room, they should subsidize the cost of the room, which maybe they are.
Maybe my consciousness has a price. Man,
maybe when I get it in my hands, I'll go. You know what? This isn't a big fucking waste of time and money on
Microsoft.
Maybe
when I'm looking at my dick as I'm peeing in the mirror that's set too low in the wall, I don't want to be thinking about Microsoft Kinect.
Yes. Yes.
The controller. Woo!
How many people are going to do that?
And you really are a maestro with it.
Oh, I'm going to try that.
They got really upset when I tried that in the demo.
Really? Okay. Oh.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Scott, I think just I said something in here.
I want to see how far I can get it inside me.
What's that, Chris?
I want to see how far I can get it inside me. I'm not going to be happy until I can get a move to show up on an x-ray of my pelvis.
See, that's the thing. A move, like, I had to restrain myself from asking. I went to a demo, an hour-long demo of Move Tech demos, which was the most boring thing I've done this week.
Oh, that and was, but, like, after you played the move, they're like, here's how we made it. Is that the
which
thing
is typical?
About?
Which yeah, is typical Sony, like getting caught up in the tech and not this.
But it's
the,
just
the
like
emotion of
check
it.
Check out
like,
this tech demo with this dummy that we can poke around with a sword and dismember. It's like we gave that to somebody and they turned it into a game. And here's a demo of like having a fireball and you can throw the fireball. And we gave that to this company and they made sorcery. And some guy in the audience was like, "Yeah, you better give it to Namco Bandai because they have the license for Dragon Ball." And like, that guy didn't shut up through the whole thing. But
you know, it'd be great Dragon Ball games.
Right, where was I going with this?
I don't. Oh yeah,
I had to restrain myself from asking them. It's like, how long you think before one of those is medically extricated from an asshole? Because I look at that thing as like somebody's going to shove that up their ass. It is a matter of time.
That depends on how
it
much
is even more likely than the Wii controller.
Yeah, no, it's rounded.
Yeah,
it's rounded. You
it's rounded. It's got a flared base.
If you get a caddy for a move, you could fall on it.
Yeah,
he could.
I assumed that game was under embargo. I didn't realize we're allowed to talk about this game yet, Michael. But
what game? Oh, the,
oh,
shoving
the
up
asshole
your ass
removal game.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll put it under embargo. Colon embargo.
Assbargo.
Yeah, an assbargo. Tyler, connect.
Actually, Charlie's not with us now because he's playing Kinect right now.
I thought he was doing Halo.
He was playing Gears of War 4.
No, he's playing Gears. It's a Microsoft Best of E3 tonight, so he's playing Gears 3 and all the Kinect stuff.
Okay. But you said Best of.
Yeah. Well, it's Microsoft's show.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us played Kinect, but I played Game Party, and like they kept telling me I played the big game.
Game Party, bro.
Game Party. Like, they kept saying that it wasn't working that well because of the lighting.
Yeah,
which I think is
my
bullshit.
Ass. It doesn't work
because
it's stuck.
Because, like, I was trying to whack moles. You know, I was just trying to whack some moles.
And use his lights as
like innovative stuff.
My semi-transparent hands on the screen, which I feel like I'm going to be seeing a lot of in the future.
God, it's all just so fucking terrible.
They were like 10 seconds behind my hands.
I want to know.
One cannot whack a mole if it's what's happening on the screen.
Tomorrow I have to get my article done on which company, Microsoft or Sony, has the best motion control game that ends in eyemoles, connectimals, or what's the one?
Invisimals.
Invisimals. Which one do I play?
Okay, hold on.
They are different games.
Invisimals is actually kind of interesting.
Invisimals is ghost Pokemon that live in your house.
Exactly. It's kind of cool. Like, I'm not going to lie.
My joke. Let's just forget it never happened.
What was the joke going to be?
Immols.
Immols. Okay.
Let's Immols? Forget it never happened.
Wow, what the hell?
I want to play Jimmy Kimmel's. Yeah.
We have the beer, but this hotel room turned into a fucking vortex of humor?
Yes.
Come
we're
on.
Not funny.
Let's dissect my bomb.
Okay.
That's what makes it funnier.
Tyler, did you see anything else on Kinect?
Me? Did I play anything on Kinect? I mean, I played Game Party, and like I said, it didn't work. Like, there was a huge delay. And
I did see that they said if somebody accidentally walks in front of it pauses the game.
Yeah, it's no good. Like, but even when we played Move, it kept having to recalibrate.
I hate
calibrating things.
Yeah,
God, you know, like I like pressing buttons because there's no calibrating.
Like
you either
we already
are pressing
had,
it or you're not.
As fucking games journalists and everyone listening to the podcast and every gamer who reads the site, like we all this like pent up anger at dealing with Nintendo's Wii bullshit for the past 4 years,
and they never brought it up once.
And then they didn't bring it up. They like, oh, Wii Party is gonna, you know, that's stupid. Whatever, it's not for you, so deal with it. But then, like, the motion control was such a small part of their show.
Yeah, we all joked.
And their games there. And then you get to Sony and Microsoft, and they're 4 years behind Nintendo on a thing that's over.
Yeah, you should talk about all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we all joked like, before Nintendo's conference, like, what if Nintendo just totally blows us away this year and is actually the best one? And oh my god,
and they fucking did that! Like, we were
exactly
joking, like, oh, it'd be funny if they just did nothing but announce really cool hardcore games for, like, 2D games or something.
That would be
like,
funny, right?
And then,
I want to go into it to relive
exactly
it all on Friday.
Yeah, Friday's the bigger one.
On Friday. quiet so I can actually collect sound effects. Mm-hmm. We'll be there for that one.
Yeah.
But you, I'm guessing Nintendo is the highlight of your week because I can't stand in line for 3 hours to play shit, so I'll never get to.
I'm trying to get other people in to see the 3DS. I'm trying. They like the whole world is like, can I go?
I got shit to write anyway. I played Sonic Colors. I don't need it. I don't need anything
played
I got.
I didn't like it that much, but Michael's bouncing in his seat here. What?
No, I just want to say that the only low point of the Nintendo show was the fucking Just Dance thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, of course they're going to mention that. It sold more than every first-party Nintendo game.
God, the first, I don't want to go into it now, but like the first like half of that press conference, I was scared to death. Mm-hmm. I was like, my God, it's worse than before.
Tense, waiting for the Wii Vitality.
Oh, my God.
And not only did they not do it, but Ubisoft
did it. And that's the thing. Like, Nintendo is like just... What the fuck is all anyone did? Like, Nintendo's making a bunch of money. Let's do everything they did. Vitality sensor, let's make one quicker before they do it. And then Nintendo's like, oh, well, that was a dumb idea. Let's play that down and not mention that newbie. You could breathe and put this thing on your finger. It's going to be so cool. And it's like,
it's
you
a
know
game about relaxation.
God, like, it's like, again, and I've harped on this before, but it's like,
boo.
It feels so good to be so pro Nintendo again and feel it and not have to be like, I remember when I used to love Nintendo.
Well, let's talk about the conference.
Yeah,
what did you play?
Once the 3DS comes out, we won't need it anymore.
I know. Well, I played. Everything that they were showing on 3DS, I played. Ocarina of Time was just a demo. It's just like Link riding around the field.
But you just watch
this demo of it's like a trailer basically. But I mean, first and foremost, the 3DS works exactly as they advertise. It adds depth to the screen. Mm-hmm. You look at this thing, and you're not wearing glasses yet. It doesn't even look like a screen. It looks like a window or a box or something, and you're just looking into a fucking portal into another world or something.
I'm so surprised that actually works.
It makes no sense.
I was so ready to be cynical and skeptical. Gimmick, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm playing it, and it's like, well, granted, none of the games I saw like use it in a new gameplay sense other than that just looks neat.
Yeah, but someone will come up with something.
Someone will do something really cool with it. Like a WarioWare game, I'm sure they'll announce for launch. All about 3D games, but like... I played Star Fox 64, which was it's literally just the N64 game. Only
still
now there's
awesome.
Depth to everything.
Still awesome.
Really
that
cool.
Last boss.
Oh yeah, the hands. The hands.
They're coming out.
You'll be
screen.
Shooting, and there really is depth to it. So like, and it's not just that you can peer in, but sometimes things can be out. They appear almost out of the screen. Like there was a demo of like Link standing against like it's supposed to be rain or ashes or something falling, and they look like they're out of the machine. It's not just deep; it looks like there's pieces of it. And then I saw the Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater naked sample, whatever the fuck he's calling
naked
it.
Sample.
The naked sample.
The naked sample. It was just a trailer, but it was a long, long trailer. Well,
it's a Kojima trailer.
Obviously, it was a Kojima trailer.
Kojima
but it was
likes to use thesauruses to come up with game titles.
But it was like the Metal Gear demo they had for 3DS was the best use of the 3D of a thing I was already impressed with. Like it felt like he'd had this thing for a year already and was like, no, guys, I already know how to work this. Like he had this alligator comes up out of it's Snake Eater, so it's like jungle and that kind of that setting. But like there's like butterflies flying around, and there's some far away, there's some close to you. There's an alligator that turns to you, and its snout like looks like it's kind of popping out of the screen. Ooh. And then like this, there's this scene where like Snake Big Boss is like hiding under a log, and then somebody's arm comes out from above him, and it's a soldier who's dropped his pack of cigarettes, and he can't see, so he's just reaching his arm in this hole like, where'd my cigarettes go? And he can't, so it's just an arm, but it's doing that 3D like, whoa, somebody's arm is coming out at the screen at you. But like Snake, the whole time Snake's like just like. Really, like, kind of leaning back and hiding and watching this guy's arm probe around. And, like, that shit worked really well. And other stuff I played was Nintendogs, which is super cute and none of us care. Pilot Wings, which was a lot of fun.
And that's not a 64.
No. It's a brand new Pilot Wings game.
What do they call it?
Pilot Wings Resort, which was
Why?
A joke I swear
Why
I made
do?
Like a year ago.
Why do?
It's because I think it takes place. I don't know this, but just looking at it.
It
looks
almost
like,
makes sense. A
no,
bunch
no, no,
of rich
no, no.
white people get together on an island
right.
and
no,
just
I think,
go skydiving.
I think the reason it is because I think it takes place on the same island as Wii Sports Resort.
Oh. Which I thought they had Pilot Wings elements in that game.
They did kind of already. But this is like
it's resort like it's a real island. It's not Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, it's Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, I know.
It's the resort.
It has a name. It's like
can't
Sunny
be the
Island
same Resort because that's
it's
two
the resort.
Names.
It's Nintendo's resort. It's going to be your favorite character in the next Smash Brothers.
Just arguing anal details.
So am I.
It's fun. It has the jetpack that it was in the Super Nintendo and N64. It's a lot of fun. 3DS. What else did I play?
You played this new Zelda game.
I did play Skyward Sword, which if you were watching the thing and Miyamoto's demo kind of fucked up and it
did. Holy shit.
Huh?
Holy shit.
What?
The demo.
Oh. Yeah, it is his thing.
Jesus.
What? Like his what? His when Miyamoto was displaying it on stage and
shut up everybody. Jesus.
The whole technical thing where the sword stopped working and he got really upset and just quit like, let's just move on to something else. Obviously it works better than that. It is very much one-to-one kind of with the sword. Like, you can't, like, turn the sword all the way upside down and the fucking Link bends his hand. And, you know, it doesn't work like that. But, like, you can just sit there and hold your...
Motion Plus?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And, like, you know, if you move the sword around left and right, Link moves it around as well. And the enemies are all based... Like, all the combat is based around... You can't just hit A and attack.
Mm-hmm.
Or, as in Twilight Princess, just swing and attack. Like, this guy will have his swords up. You know, going horizontal, and you got to hit him to side, or he's got him vertically, and you got to hit him horizontally. Like, you have to react, and it'll change their stance. It's not like, I always have my sword like this, so always use the same trick against me. It was like, they react and kind of move differently, and the graphics, which didn't come...
A lot of them.
Almost the most.
Yeah, most graphics.
Kirby's Epic Yarn, I think, had the most graphics of this show.
Oh, wow.
Maybe, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 probably
had a lot of graphics.
Had the most fucking graphics.
Ooh, a lot of graphics on this thing. Shit.
So many graphics.
It didn't come through in the demo, and it doesn't come through in the screens, but, like, the game looks like a Van Gogh painting at times. Like,
I noticed that. It was a lot more vibrant than Twilight Princess looked.
Because, like, from a distance, it's like, well, it looks like Twilight Princess with a Wind Waker filter over it. But that's not it at all. Like, because there's a scene where there's this part where you walk up on this cliff and you can see the sky and these three waterfalls and the clouds. And the sky looks like it's been made with brush strokes and like, individual brush strokes.
With care.
And I was like, oh my god, it does actually look unique. It's not like an in-between of two games already made. Like, it did make me feel a lot more interested. And the streamlined interface of, like, selecting weapons really quickly, and you're not pausing and surfing menus. Like, the world doesn't stop. Like, I don't know. I came away from it. In the press demo, in the press conference on Tuesday, I was kind of like, I don't know. Seems like you could have maybe didn't have to make this. It seems like you just needed a Zelda game. To fill a hole.
Yeah. I was really scared because I told you guys, and I guess this is just what they were testing. Mm. In their last podcast, I said, I think I know a sequel that Nintendo's going to announce. And it's because they were testing all those Wiis with Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on the show floor the night before and see Mario Kart and all these. I'm like, dude, it's going to be Mario Kart 2. Everybody panic.
I thought it would happen.
Everybody run.
Instead, it was Mario Sports Mix, which I had a chance to play and did not.
I forgot that existed!
Yep. Or, a.k.a. Mario Sports, the games that would never warrant their own game. Hockey and basketball.
Yeah, I can't believe they didn't
announce volleyball. Joe, you've been really quiet. What was a game that struck you as impressive?
I didn't really see too many games.
Mario Kart.
Fire!
Editing videos.
You saw every game I did.
Mostly I saw you talking to dudes in a room, and then I saw Tyler talking to dudes in a room.
I talked to dudes in a room.
Oh, you talked to one girl in a room.
I talked to one girl.
And then I saw Brett talking to dudes in a room.
Brett talked to dudes, Capcom dudes.
Yeah, Capcom dudes.
That sounds like Carolyn's experience, which was, I think she uploaded 1 billion screenshots today.
Right.
Oh, poor Carolyn has been in our
room. If everyone could go just to the screenshots tab somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And Carolyn a cake.
No, and Carolyn's...
Screenshot cake.
Like, we got our war room on the E3 show floor, and Carolyn's in there working.
And that's all.
And she got to go to Square Enix, because she likes that.
Oh, my
God. She comes back, and she's
Let's
like...
pitch for her.
What do you think they showed? What game do you think they showed?
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, the reason we sent her was they said they were going to show the third birthday, which is the third Parasite Eve, and she loves that. So we were like, you should go to this.
So we're all like, okay, the way you're talking, it must have been Final Fantasy 14. Okay.
Fine.
What do you think they showed?
Fine.
What do you think they showed of the game?
What do you think they showed?
No.
Listeners, let's give listeners a moment of silence. We'll listen to Brett's music for a second.
That's thinking about it.
Anyone tell me what that is? I'll give you something.
What was it?
They showed the character creation.
The character creation.
Which, as she put it, was the most generic character creation ever. You can
put a scar on their cheek or on their nose.
You give them a first name.
The first name and a last name. Said,
and yeah. Once you give them one scar, you can give them.
That was,
a
yeah, there like, was an actual thing that they were proud of that you can give them both.
Yeah, they
the
were
first
like touting the fact
name.
That you could give your characters last names.
They think it is.
Really? And she's telling me
according
how.
According to Tyler Nagata, it isn't.
She's telling me how proud they are of this, and I had just come back from an APB demo, which has the best character creation I've ever seen.
Are you going to defend
this, amazing
Scott?
Shit.
No, I'm just going to say that I also saw Final Fantasy XIV today, and we did actually see a little bit of gameplay. I guess maybe they didn't.
No, she played it, and literally I think the headline of her article is going to be Final Fantasy XIV, I Killed a Crab.
Yeah, with
the strap line, technically it was four crabs.
There's so many crabs in E3 this year.
And
oh
then,
my god!
Boom! You just played Final Fantasy 14.
Well, let me tell you, it's one of the prettiest majestic field simulators I've ever played.
Oh wow, good fields, right?
Yeah, majestic as all hell. You wouldn't believe it.
Which, I played
all kinds of majestic.
I played an MMO too.
Fucking Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, speaking of crabs, there are a ton of crabs at E3 this year, and one of the best things that I have
I
seen
got crabs
in this show.
Oh,
so
you
far.
Beat me the joke!
Oh.
Damn you!
Right, one That's of part best, of this part. We can't discuss.
One of the best things I've seen this show so far is the poster for Deadliest Catch Storm.
What?
Whatever the Deadliest Catch thing is, because it's this guy, like this fisherman, and it's like this ship during a storm, and he's like holding up a crab at the camera and like pointing behind him and also yelling at the camera, but because of the position of the crab and his eyes, it looks like he's yelling something at the crab. Like, you gotta get up on that troika, crab! You're the only one who can save them!
Crab.
Pull it together, crab!
Get it together, crab.
Mr. Crab.
Go dive in that ocean, save your friends!
Say that again.
I always thought AIDS was the deadliest catch.
Scotty Butterworth.
Official PlayStation Magazine.
I'm not really tired. I don't much have a filter anymore. I kind of don't care at this point.
Scotty Butterworth with a PG-13 joke. I'm very happy.
That was easily R-rated.
That was R-rated. All right. It was TVMA. It was CV. I told all the grandmas last week not to listen and iTunes not to give it to me. I can't even say this about the gameplay because I was so so elated I forgot to actually play it, but I had one of those moments I think everybody has at E3 where they won't forget about, where I went to go see Epic Mickey, and then
Ooh.
I get in the room and Warren Spector's in there.
Mm.
And it was, we just start talking. We were sitting on the floor, Indian style.
Eating ding dong.
You had a powwow with Warren Spector?
It was me, AJ Glasser, and Charlie Barrett. And AJ Glasser, if you remember from our Disney cast, she's a big Kingdom Hearts fan. She helped me write a lot of Week at Disney. And we just kept asking questions, and I just pulled my phone out and started recording. And that's what you're going to hear following this. Those recordings. I didn't want to bore anybody who wasn't a Disney fan, but it was one of the greatest moments of my life for me and the guy who created with the Thief series. And
yeah, Thief, Deus Ex. He was, you know, the good Ion Storm. He ran that.
Yeah, lose our shit over cartoons for about, you won't hear this much, but for about almost 30 minutes.
This is all for Epic Mickey.
This is all for Epic Mickey. Which,
again, seeing it in person looked much better than that press conference made it out to be.
Dude, the traveling stage that was the Steamboat Willie,
yes.
That looks so cool.
You know
it's
what
because
it
Wii games
from?
Don't blow up on those screens good at all.
No, they do not.
But when they show them on a TV monitor, I'm like, no, that still looks really good.
I looked at it on a TV that was about my size, and it didn't hurt a little.
Oh,
it did hurt a little. It's just, but it's everything I want.
Yeah,
it's everything I want. So you can hear me talk to Warren Spector after this super hyper tease for what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Just the Donkey Kong music that made me jump out of my seat at the Nintendo E3 press conference.
I did play Donkey Kong Country today.
You can talk about that.
You did?
Oh, Friday. Okay.
Yo, big tease. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Right now, it's at Disney Epic Mickey on the Wii. There are always things you want to do better, you know? And so, you know, the next game I do, whatever it is gonna has to take another step up. You know, I hope people perceive this as better than Deus Ex Invisible War and Thief Deadly Shadows, and I hope people perceive those as better than the games I did before. But so better, yes, absolutely, I want to do better next time. But I think the question you're asking is, you know, are there things that I cut that I wished I didn't have to cut?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there, this, you know, Disney is a very large company, and you know, there are a lot of strategic things. You know, I love the fairy stuff, but you know, there's a fairies initiative, and you know, I don't want to confuse things for everybody. So you know, there aren't a lot of fairies in the game.
You know,
but as soon as I heard there's an Alice in Wonderland movie coming out, I don't want to be messing with that. You know, why confuse people? So there's some things that I thought about putting in the game, but you know, it's just part of the natural creative process. You know, if you talk to my team, they'll tell you, oh, Warren, yeah, he's a kitchen sink designer. You know, I throw everything in there, and then I start carving out, you know, what isn't appropriate, what doesn't look like the Pietà, you know, and so it's almost like sculpting. So you remove the things that don't fit. And, you know, there are a lot of reasons why some things might not fit.
I was keep remarking to everybody how the Gus's appearance, an unproduced Disney film, is like he now gets to play a heavy role in this game. Yeah. Now, I wondered, like, what's both your... It might be the same thing, but your favorite, i.e. most obscure character inclusion?
Well, my favorite obscure character has to be Oswald. Oswald yeah. deserves so much better than he's gotten over the years, you know? I mean,
but he has the greatest villain backstory, like, just in real life.
Oh, well, you know, the story of Oswald is really fascinating, yeah. the real-life story. But he was such a wonderful character in that 18-month period where Walt and Ub Iwerks were making those cartoons. He's a great character, and this is just talking about my hopes. It has nothing to do with plans. But my hope is that we can help bring Oswald back to prominence, and that the company wants to do big stuff with him. I mean, who knows? But that would be real. I would feel so special if we can help that.
I thought I heard there was some kind of push to bring Oswald back in some kind of spotlight, and I thought this was part of that.
Well, it is, absolutely. I mean, but if there are other plans, I don't know what they are. I mean, I make video games. This is a video game.
Either way, there's a
video games, you know?
There's a Gold Box Treasures collection that you should really check out.
No, I've got that.
Great documentary.
No, I've got that, and I have. They did a couple of posters and a thermal mug and a bunch of pins. I mean, I'm a Disney pin collector, which is kind of. I'm really kind of sad and pathetic. I am really.
Have you ever gone up at Disneyland and asked somebody to give them your pin?
Absolutely.
My sister does it all the time.
Are you kidding me? What? Yeah.
Oswald, Disney bringing back Oswald. I know that Mickey was when it was first announced. The stories like that. This was Disney's first step in trying to make Mickey cool again and relevant to generations now that kind of just look at him as a corporate icon. Do you know if they have, besides this game, do you know of any other their plans to, you know, bring Mickey back into being a real character again, not just a high-pitched mascot?
All I know is that they're letting me do this, which is magical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, was there some kind of oversight committee you had to, like, present this new Mickey design to?
Well, you know, Disney is very protective of this character. I mean, he's on our business cards and... Oh, I'm not wearing my badge. But anyway, he's on our badges. I asked to involve people from Feature Animation and Disney Consumer Products and other parts of the company, because, you know, if you don't do that, you're just asking for trouble. I mean, this guy is too important to everybody at Disney to risk not involving everybody else. So it wasn't like I had to go to them. But I chose to create. Actually, it was Graham Hopper who runs the division who created the MCC, the Mickey Creative Council. You know, I wanted to make sure that people bought into what I was doing because I want their support and I want their enthusiasm. You know,
I think Mickey was more of a comical character. He became less of a comical character when they put a shirt on him. Like right around that time, he became suburban. He got into less trouble. Like we're watching him ride on the cow from Steamboat Willie. That let's be honest, tortured in that cartoon.
You should read my master's thesis. Every cartoon character in history went through exactly the same evolution. Yeah.
Bugs did. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Woody Woodpecker.
Donald did get a little suburban at the end.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah,
he had,
that's right.
Every one of them had three nephews, a suburban home. I mean, it's crazy. It's really funny.
Will there be Morty and Ferdy? Is that... Will they be in the game?
Man, you are hardcore.
Yeah.
He is really hardcore. I actually worked on an article for him on Kingdom Hearts doing a history, and he gave me all kinds of grief because I didn't have enough Disney history in there.
Don't you have a Gus figure on your desk?
I do. I have three...
Dark Horse did some Gus figures. Did a bunch of Gremlin figures, which are gorgeous, by the way.
Okay.
I don't want to talk too much about what will not be here, but I will tell you, Morty and Ferdy are not going to be in the game.
Oh, a collective sigh from the three remaining people who remember them. I haven't been to Disneyland since I moved to California, and I was very depressed to find out that the Swiss Family Robinson house is now the Tarzan house.
But now the
Swiss Family Robinson house is like a level in the game.
Well, that's kind of what we're hoping. Now, we're not doing... perfect, accurate recreations of those locations.
But
in spirit, it lives on in Wasteland. That's the beauty of this place.
Those are things that can never be represented again anywhere else, so it's just nice to see them pop up, like they're still part of our collective memories.
See, and that's exactly it. Disney... I can only imagine how he felt about these characters. I mean, I know how I feel about J.C. Denton. I know how I feel about the characters that I've created. And how could he bear to have all of these characters that he loved so much, and these story elements that he loved so much, and these ride elements that he loved so much? How could he bear to have them just forgotten? The Wasteland idea is that there's a place where all this stuff goes until audiences are ready to accept them again.
Mm.
It's not that they're gone forever. It's that there's a place for them, and all Oswald was trying to do was turn this into a place that's pleasant and nice while they wait, and then Mickey's mischief just devastates the world. And so then we have Oswald down in Wasteland saying, "You stole the life that should have been mine. I should have been the most successful and popular cartoon star."